So, how's your heart doing after yesterday's little scene of Scrooge getting dumped and then restrained by a ghost in order to be forced to view one more Christmas? I don't remember a ghost manhandling Scrooge in A Muppet's Christmas Carol, but again, A Muppet's Christmas Carol is the only one I know other than Scrooged with Bill Murray. And if you haven't watched Scrooge before, do it. My uncle introduced me to it about a decade ago, and it's become one of my all-time favorite Christmas classics. It's wonderful. Do yourself a favor and watch a 1980s version of A Christmas Carol with Bill Murray and his two brothers. Now it's time for our Scrooge. They were in another scene and place, a room, not very large or handsome, but full of comfort. Okay, a little Courtney note here. This next sentence has strange syntax to our ears, so it's going to sound like I'm missing words, but I promise that I'm not. Near to the winter fire sat a beautiful young girl. So like that, last that Scrooge believed it was the same until he saw her, now a comely matron sitting opposite her daughter. The noise in this room was perfectly tumultuous, for there were more children there than Scrooge in his agitated state of mind could count. And unlike the celebrated herd in the poem, they were not 40 children conducting themselves like one, but every child was conducting itself like 40. The consequences were uproarious beyond belief, but no one seemed to care. On the contrary, the mother and daughter laughed heartily and enjoyed it very much. And the latter, soon beginning to mingle in the sports, got pillaged by the young brigands most ruthlessly. What would I have not given to be one of them? Though I never could have been so rude. No, no. I wouldn't for the wealth of all the world have crushed that braided hair and torn it down. And for the precious little shoe, I wouldn't have plucked it off, God bless my soul, to save my life. As to measuring her waist in sport, as they did, bold young brood, I couldn't have done it. I should have expected my arm to have grown round it for a punishment, and never come straight again. And yet, I should have dearly liked, I own, to have touched her lips, to have questioned her that she might have opened them, to have looked upon the lashes of her downcast eyes, and never raised a blush, to have let the loose waves of hair, an inch of which would be a keepsake beyond price. In short, I should have liked, I do confess, to have had the lightest license of a child, and yet to have been man enough to know its value. But now a knocking at the door was heard, and such a rush immediately ensued that she, with laughing face and plundered dress, was borne towards it, the center of a flushed and boisterous group, just in time to greet the father, who came home attended by a man laden with Christmas toys and presents. Then the shouting and struggling, and the onslaught that was made on the defenseless porter, the scaling him with chairs for ladders to dive into his pockets, despoil him of brown paper parcels, hold on tight by his cravat, hug him round his neck, pummel his back, and kick his legs in irrepressible affection. The shouts of wonder and delight with which the development of every package was received, the terrible announcement that the baby had been taken in the act of putting a doll's frying pan into his mouth, and was more than suspected of having swallowed a fictitious turkey glued onto a wooden platter, the immense relief of finding this false alarm, the joy and gratitude and ecstasy, they are all indescribable alike. It is enough that by degrees the children in their emotions got out of the parlor, and by one stair at a time, up to the top of the house, where they went to bed and so subsided. And now Scrooge looked on more attentively than ever, when the master of the house, having his daughter leaning fondly on him, sat down with her and her mother at his own fireside. And when he thought that such another creature, quite as graceful and as full of promise, might have called him father, and had a springtime in the haggard winter of his life, his sight grew very dim indeed. "Bell," said the husband, turning to his wife with a smile, "I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon."
"Who was it?"
"Guess."
"How can I? Don't I know?"
she added in the same breath, laughing as he laughed.
"Mr. Scrooge."
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window, and as it was not shut up, and he had a candle inside, I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear. And there he sat alone, quite alone in the world, I do believe.
"Spirit," said Scrooge in a broken voice, "remove me from this place."
"I told you these were shadows of the things that have been," said the ghost. "That they are what they are. Do not blame me."
"Remove me!" Scrooge exclaimed. "I cannot bear it."
He turned upon the ghost, and seeing that it looked upon him with a face, in which in some strange way there were fragments of all the faces it had shown him, wrestled with it.
"Leave me! Take me back! Haunt me no longer!"
In the struggle, if that can be called a struggle in which the ghost, with no visible resistance on its own part, was undisturbed by any effort of its adversary, Scrooge observed that its light was burning high and bright. And dimly connecting that with its influence over him, he seized the extinguisher cap and by sudden action pressed it down upon its head. The spirit dropped beneath it, so that the extinguisher covered its whole form. But though Scrooge pressed it down with all its force, he could not hide the light, which streamed from under it in an unbroken flood upon the ground. He was conscious of being exhausted and overcome by an irresistible drowsiness, and further, of being in his own bedroom. He gave the cap a parting squeeze in which his hand relaxed, and had barely time to reel to bed before he sank into a heavy sleep. And that brings us to the end of Stave 2 and the first of the three spirits. Apologies for the kind of stilted reading this morning. I'm feeling a little bit tongue-tied and a lot of bit thirsty. So I'm going to drink probably close to a liter of water. And I'm going to have my second cup of tea, and then I'm going to get to work, because that's what we do as human beings. We work. All right. Thank you for letting me into your ear holes. I appreciate it so much that you're on this journey with me. I love you all so very much, and please take good care of your hearts. Read to you tomorrow. Bye.